Daphne.
Hi, Mom. I'm Daphne.
I'm Gail.
We're back.
We're That's Disturbing.
Yes, we are. Very disturbing.
Someday we'll get good at that intro thing, but I guess we're not there yet.
We're not even close to being there.
I'm going
to
go with, yeah, we're still sucking at that.
Yeah, I mean, we're new. We're like little babies at this.
So. Well, it's super awkward to sit here and talk into a microphone to each other.
Right.
It's like you're playing television show or something.
What?
I don't know. It's like you're playing, like, on a...
I feel like I should be wearing, like, a wire right now and be like, say your name louder.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I feel like you're too young for Seinfeld, but there was this episode of...
Seinfeld.
Okay, well, there was this episode of Seinfeld where Kramer got the set for the Merv Griffin show, which the Merv Griffin show before my time, but it's like a talk show. And so he had people, every time somebody came in his office, he's like, hey, let's welcome Jerry. And they would just start, he'd be like, so Jerry, tell me about your day. Like, it was like a TV show, like an interview. And so that's what this feels like when we're sitting here talking into a microphone and I don't really know what to say or how to talk because it's fucking awkward until we get rolling. And then it's just you and I having a casual conversation about death and murder and scary shit.
So when but I'm
prior
this,
to that, we're like, hi, I'm Gail. Hi, I'm Daphne. We're disturbing because this is our show that's disturbing. And it feels stupid.
I like that. I love it.
Okay.
You're so mean. I love it.
I am mean.
Yeah, you're just self-critical. We're doing great.
And that.
I think we're doing awesome.
Look, it's still right there on my phone. I was looking up how to pronounce a word and it's still like scrolling across my phone.
That's funny.
Yes. And it's for my disturbing fact. So shall I?
After people start following us on Instagram.
Oh, shit. So never.
Don't put at in the universe.
Okay. So don't really quick, that. Like right now when people start following us.
Yeah. Like real it. Quick, like right now, like at That's Disturbing Podcast on Instagram. And what? Why are you laughing?
Because I'm like, did she say Gmail and Instagram on something? But then I realized you didn't.
I definitely didn't. No, because the problem is then I go, our email is thatsdisturbingpodcast@gmail.com. And I always have to go, well, there's no at in front of that. So that's also our email, in case you were wondering, or you wanted to send us a case request form. Because, you know, we want to cater to you. Let us do it. Send us something. We want to talk about what you want to hear.
Yeah, no kidding. So do it. Because there's so much stuff out there. And of course, we have our ideas. But then because we listen to all these other podcasts and stuff too, we hear stuff that we never heard of before. And then we hear things that everybody's heard of. And right. I don't know.
There's like today's episode.
Yeah, except for you think that I know so much about it because you're just like, I know, you know. And I'm like, I really don't. I think it's just not one that I've been that interested in. Or like the Junko Furuta. How you're like, oh my God, I can't believe you didn't know. I had no idea.
Yeah.
So.
That's a crazy fucking one.
Well, and also when I looked that one up, like nobody else has really done it. And maybe because it's just too horrible. I mean, a couple people have, but it's not like.
There's a lot worse that a lot of people, not a lot worse, but there's a lot more graphic things that people bring up and talk about.
No, that's totally fair. But like how everybody has done or heard Ed Kemper or Ted Bundy or Jeffrey Dahmer or. Oh, I don't know. I could go on and on and on, like the school shooting ones and stuff like that. But like this one, when you Google it, there's not a ton.
So, right.
Or Junko Furuta anyway. I know I hadn't heard a ton about the Cecil, so I appreciate you doing it. Now, yeah. Can I say the disturbing?
Disturbing, yes. Please share your disturbing facts
okay,
with me.
Okay, I'm going to share.
Does it have anything to do with scurvy?
It doesn't have anything to do with scurvy, actually. It's just a disturbing fact, not a disturbing fact. Okay, so. When we were talking about the skeleton thing last time.
Yeah.
And I told you I was going to look it up. Guess what? I followed through with that.
Wow.
I know. It's pretty crazy. I did have to write it down.
Because I made you pull out your phone and write it down?
Yep. And it was in a big old note. And then I went to make a grocery list in my phone and it said skeletons. And I was like, oh, shit. I didn't do that. So I did it. Any hoodles.
So that's what you were doing 30 minutes ago was making a grocery list when you decided to do the disturbing fact?
No, it was just still in my phone. I knew when we were coming out here that that's what I was going to do because when I was making the grocery list last weekend, that's where it came up and prompted me.
Okay.
And I remembered from last weekend, which still is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of shit in my brain and it pushes out important things and also not so important things. Like the more information that goes in there,
the more goes out.
The more goes out. And some some things I need and some things I don't. And my brain doesn't know how to differentiate, I guess.
Right. Your brain doesn't know how to disseminate the information that's needed and what's not needed. Right. I was going to say what's not in instead of what's not needed.
Okay. So Dap's tired today.
A little bit. Puppy blues.
Yes. So skeletons. How skeletons are processed for classrooms and museums and just processed. So there's...
Or movie sets.
But now replica skeletons are used almost in all cases. The only reason now that they get the skin and muscle and everything off of a skeleton nowadays or off of a body is for crime scene investigation. So originally, when they used to do it for for research or for classrooms or whatever, they used lye, which of course everybody's heard of dissolving a body with lye, right? But lye dissolves the whole body.
Okay, so that's going to kill the skeleton too.
Right, so you have to be careful with that. So right. You put the lye, I guess you put the skeleton in a box, you put the lye in the box with the skeleton, and then you drill holes in the box, and after about a week you start like rinsing the lye off, and then the skin and muscles and all that start to slough off.
That's disgusting.
It's pretty freaking nasty. And then the second thing that can be done is boiling, which
we talked about.
We talked about that. And also it's like how, you know, when you cook a chicken and stuff like that, and then the bones come out.
You know, I don't typically cook a chicken by boiling it, but yes.
Well, I mean, but you can.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, not that boiled chicken's a great flavor for chicken. But, you know, like if you make chicken soup or whatever and you throw chicken into the soup.
Yes.
And then you pull the bones and skin and blah, blah, blah.
Right, okay.
Same concept, just with the human skeleton.
Right.
Instead of a chicken.
No, I want chicken soup, thanks.
After I'm talking about human skeletons and how you get the bones off.
Ouch. You know, a lot doesn't faze me anymore at this point.
I'm getting that. So, and then the third way is through insects. And
like they eat away at the body?
Yeah, like at the body farm, the pig farm.
I don't think the pig farm would eat the, just leave no, the skeletons. But
what is that one called? The body farm? And they use pigs in the body farm for decomposition purposes. They have kind of staged areas to say, like, if it's hot like this, if it's cold like this. It gives researchers baseline for how long things take to disintegrate and how long they've been out in the elements.
They use pigs, like, as their test subjects, not human bodies.
Correct. But they also use human bodies, but, like, for the test subjects, sometimes they use pigs.
Okay.
They use
I thought you meant, like, pigs eating.
No.
The bodies. I was like, then you wouldn't get the bones.
No. Because like, you can be like, okay, drop it. Now that you've got to the bone, drop it.
Right. Yeah, I don't think an aggressive pig that's eating humans going to listen to you.
No, probably
it's gonna
not.
It's going to be like, oh, is it your turn now?
Yeah, probably not. Insects, dermistids are one kind. Dermistid beetles, known kind of cadaver beetles. But you can also use mealworms, maggots. A lot of other insects can be used, although maggots aren't ideal because they turn into flies and they fly away.
Nice.
Anyhow, that was...
Maggots turn into flies,
right?
And they leave.
That was another disturbing fact.
And then they bounce.
Or fly. They don't bounce. They bounce when they're maggots and then they turn into flies and then they fly.
Then they say, peace.
Peace, motherfucker. So that was my disturbing fact. Was it disturbing?
Yes.
Or it was just a follow-up on the whole skeleton thing?
No, but I liked it because I've never heard about lye. Heard about people doing it in acid. Is that like the same?
Yeah. Well.
Oh, is it called lye?
Well, I mean, acid's different than lye, but it's the same
concept.
Yeah. I mean, I think in the olden days, way back when, people were trying to get rid of bodies and stuff. It was pretty common for them to put them in their garden and put lye and bury them because the lye will just disintegrate the whole shebang.
But then wouldn't it also disintegrate like all the organic chemistry happening around as well, like grass and the good shit and dirt?
I don't know.
Know that?
I don't know because I've never dissolved a body with lye.
Okay.
That'd be another thing to look up and have to get back to you on.
That's okay. We're good on that. I don't need you to test that theory for me.
Oh,
then I'll have to talk about you on the next episode. Like, well, it's just me here today because this is really awkward just talking to a microphone myself because my mom tried to, you know, disintegrate a body in our yard using lye.
Just for research purposes.
Right? I was like, Ossifer, we have a podcast.
Right? It's called Show Prep. Jesus. Can you really convict me for that?
Right? That's so funny. That's so funny. I love it.
I love it too. We're so disturbed.
We are very disturbed that we're laughing about it. Also, we changed our settings on everything to say comedy as well, because I was thinking to myself the other day, I was like, are we laughing too much for murder and, like, ghosts? And my mom was like, yeah, probably. I'm like, well, then we also have to be a comedy category.
Yeah.
And here we are, laughing ourselves. Laughing at ourselves, laughing with ourselves, whatever.
Laughing near ourselves.
Yeah. I'm laughing in the same room as myself.
Alrighty. Alright. Alright. That's my foot. Daphne's allowed to wear shoes because she's not in the chair. In the shoe chair.
I'm in the driver's seat today.
Yeah. And when you're in one chair in the office, you're good. But if you're in the other one, you have to take your shoes off. If you're going to choose to prop your shoes up or feet up on the bottom of the desk. Which both of us do, apparently.
Right. So, no shoes in the pink chair.
No shoes in the pink chair. And Daphne's in the white chair, and so she stepped on my shoeless foot with her shoe. Shoed foot.
My shoed foot.
Your shoed foot.
All right. Today we have part two of the Cecil Hotel Mom.
I can't wait.
Okay, I'm just going to give a little recap. Part one, Cecil was built, right, to, like, be a grand, opulent place. Mm-hmm. Didn't really work out much to their favor. Because the Great Depression happened, it's in very close proximity to Skid Row. Skid Row, little refresher, is a homeless district, if you will, a place where homeless are able to, like, get resources that they would need. Or it's also in proximity to a bunch of cheap hotels with single room occupancies, like tenancy style hotels.
Yeah, and if people didn't listen to the first episode and they're just coming to the second one, should really listen to the first one because we got our little history lesson about Skid Row, how it got its name, and where the origination of it was. And so that was pretty interesting history.
Yeah, it was very interesting. I loved researching it. And then I'm thinking to myself, maybe I need to do like some Skid Row, like a Skid Row episode about like deaths and stuff and like even dive further into the history. Because there's a lot that I left out.
Oh,
I'm sure.
Because you were trying to focus on the Cecil.
Yeah.
I almost said Cecil.
The Cecil.
Or the Cecil.
So, yeah, very close proximity to Skid Row. I think there were 18 deaths in total at the Cecil, like in counting today's episode as well. 18 deaths total. We left off in the 90s with the Cecil Hotel. And what we also talked about last episode was that Richard Ramirez stayed there, Jack Unterweger, I think is how you say his name. I know I asked last time. I never looked it up. I was like, I'm not giving him a piece of my mind.
Okay.
Well, I just don't want, he doesn't get to live in my head rent free. Therefore, I'm not going to look up how to say his name.
Okay. I like that analogy. He doesn't get to live in my head rent free. All my personalities pay rent.
Yeah, right. Basically. Yeah, lots happened at the Cecil. So now we're jumping into like the 2000s. So
okay.
We'll start
there. So
we're
getting relatively current.
Relatively, yeah. So it's noted here that in 2007, LA really started to become gentrified downtown. That like it's starting to, you know, places are coming back. People are making the areas nicer. Like rent prices are going up. Food prices, you know, gentrification. Yes. Everything is going up in price because things are becoming nicer around it.
Mm-hmm.
A hotel was bought. In this time period, at some point in this time period, and the new owners, they wanted to, like, kick everybody out of the building and make it, like, a proper hotel, you know, not...
Because people were living there. It was, like, a tenement house.
Yeah. Yeah, it was...
Or, like, an apartment building kind of thing.
It was... It was a tenancy-styled hotel.
There you go.
So then that way people didn't have to, like, pay a deposit like you would on a hotel.
Right. And they had to share bathrooms and stuff.
Yeah. It was like hostel style as well.
Right. Those are all the things I was looking for.
Yeah, it's becoming like gentrified at this time, new ownership, and they wanted to tear it down, like renovate it and make it, and make it like, you know.
Modern.
Modernize it, make it not Skid Row people.
Right.
Not people that were homeless or down on their luck. Like
say a bathroom in every room.
Yeah, like. Tourists, like Hollywood tourists or celebrities might stay there.
Right.
You know, that kind of, they wanted to make it up and coming. One of the, like I said, the new challenges that the owners faced was that this was a protected building for low income individuals. So it had the number of long-term residents within it, right? Who were housed there. It was protected by the city.
Okay.
Or by the county, whatever.
So it's like rent control in New York or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a protected place for low-income individuals.
All right, gotcha.
At this point. And nobody told the owners that when they bought it. That's
bullshit.
Yeah, like the city didn't say, hey, you know, this is a protected low-income building. I have this quote here that says, everyone who lives here has rights, and you can't just throw them on the street and start renting out the rooms by night.
So they rebranded themselves for a solution to this problem.
So in 2011, they rebranded themselves as Stay on Main. There were certain floors that were accommodating to like the Cecil as it was before for low income. And then new places, floors were split. This is like a 14 or 15 floor. I can't remember how many floors it was. I have it in my earlier notes. But a large, I don't want to call it a skyscraper, a tall building, a tall hotel. Multi-floored hotel.
There you go.
I
don't want to call it a skyscraper because it isn't.
Because it isn't one.
So I can't really call it that.
Although that's kind of like skyscraper-esque for Denver.
I don't know. Like, I think buildings that have like over 50 floors are considered skyscrapers. But to be fair, the sky is literally like a couple inches off the ground or an inch off the ground. So
I think the sky touches the ground.
Okay.
It's not like separated like an inch. Like, let me get out my ruler. Nope, it meets right here.
So anything's really scraping the sky.
Yeah, there you go.
Anything that's on the ground is also a skyscraper.
Yeah, I'm a skyscraper.
Except for your person, so you were not a skyscraper.
Doing it right now.
Oh, yeah, she just like pretended like she was scraping the sky.
All right. Anyway, we're being so off topic in this episode.
Weird.
Not us. So anyway, yeah, there was this.
They had a solution.
Certain floors would be the Cecil, and I put that in quotes.
And she has she's doing the air bunnies.
Yeah, quote, the Cecil, because they're trying to rebrand themselves as Stay on Main. Mm-hmm. So Stay on Main, they're redoing this part of the hotel, which is, I think, the first five floors of the hotel are going to be for, like, tourists, right? They're redoing it. They're renovating this. They're making it nice. And then the top floor is still Cecil residents, like, okay. The actual residents of the building, the upper floors. After it's rebranding and doing all this, it's Stay on Main instead of it being referred to as the Cecil. It's Stay on Main now. I mean, it's still the Cecil. Everybody still knows it as the Cecil. But these are the new owners' attempts at rebranding themselves.
The Cecil's still the Cecil, even though it's Stay on Main.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, the bottom levels of it are Stay on Main. The top is still the Cecil.
But everybody still calls the whole thing the Cecil.
Yeah, yes. Basically. But people are getting, who don't know the history of this place, and, like, that it's next to Skid Row, or seeing these advertisements for Stay on Main.
Ooh.
And then it's getting an influx of tourists who are going to Stay on Main.
Oh.
With it, all of its fucked up shit still actually going on. It's just the first fifth floors are a different name.
Yeah, I don't think I would like that if I had booked that.
Right? So they said that, like, after... This is they, the Netflix documentary, I guess I should say. Not just they, whoever said this.
Someone.
That after the rebranding, that a bunch of young female tourists were attracted to staying there. But it's still kind of hostel style. And the fact that, like, it's still budget friendly for tourists.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's still in a low income area.
Okay.
But they're trying their hardest to make it, like, what the Cecil was envisioned to be.
Okay.
100 years ago.
Okay.
So, this is where we get to Lisa Lamb now. She died on February 1st, 2013. And I'm going to give you a little bit of background about her.
I was going to say, you want to give us some background? Because whenever you talk about Lisa Lamb, like, I literally have only heard, like, some vague stuff. So, you act like, oh, Lisa Lamb. Like, the Junko Furuta thing. Like,
Yeah.
It's not something that I am.
You've said that twice in this episode.
Okay, well, now I said it three times. But who's counting?
No, I think that was the second time said it. That, or you said it off mic to me.
So I should say it one more time.
Yeah, right. So a little bit about her. She was born April 30th, 1991, and she was the daughter of immigrant parents that were from Hong Kong. And she lived. So her family immigrated from Hong Kong. Her parents did to Canada in Vancouver, which is in British Columbia.
Okay.
So at the time, she was a student at the University of British Columbia. She was 21 at the time she died. She was a student at the University of British Columbia, but she did not register at the top of 2013 because she wanted to travel in that time.
A gap year.
We could call it that. We'll continue to dig.
Okay.
I also, like, I couldn't find her major at school because she only attended three courses in her, 3 years at university. or her 2 years. Oh, I have it further down. I'm sorry. I wasn't reading that part just yet.
No, you're
right. But yeah, she only attended, or she only finished 3 courses in that time.
Huh.
Couldn't find her major, even if she knew what her major was.
I was going to say, it sounds like maybe she didn't really declare or something. I don't know.
So she started a blog in 2010 under the pseudonym Etherfields on Blogspot.
Is it Ether?
Ether, probably. Etherfields, which I knew that. I'm just not here all the way.
Okay.
I'm not here all the way today. I rhyme anytime. on Blogspot. So she started this blog on Blogspot. And then she was also avidly posting on Tumblr starting in 2012, which she named her account on Tumblr Nouvelle Nouveau. Nouvelle Nouveau.
Yes.
Things are rough. I can't English. I've told y'all this before. I won't stop saying it. I don't know how to English. I forget. Every time I go to say a word and my mouth opens, my brain just shits out.
Well, and to be fair, that's not really English. It's, excuse me, or if it is English, it's definitely got a French.
I was going to say, that's French.
Well, that's to the Vancouver, British Columbia.
Right.
Yeah.
So in one particular post on her Blogspot on Etherfields account, she posted, this is just, I'm just giving you a little bit of a deep dive in like her brain right now. I'm going to read you a post by her.
Okay.
But it was titled, "You're always haunted by your idea, or you're always haunted by the idea you're wasting your life," which she quoted from an author, Chuck Palahniuk. I don't know how you say it. I apologize if you listen to this, Chuck. I don't know how to say it. Where she, this in this post in specific, the reason why I picked this one is because she's talking about her school life and how she just kind of feels lost and like dreaded a little bit, directionless. And it's also kind of weird because in all her posts, she like starts with like pictures of like models and like fashion. And then like we'll write about whatever's on her brain. But there's only like, I guess not. I don't know. She only has like 8 posts on there. And she started this in 2012 or 2010.
Okay.
So kind of.
So weird. Not a real active poster is what you're saying?
Not real active. So this is directly her words from this post she made. "I feel like I am wasting my time compared to my fellow peers. I had a relapse at the start of the term and I had to drop 2 of the 3 courses I was taking. Now I am down to 1 course and I have missed 3 weeks of classes since my sleeping pattern is completely reversed. I'm a bit defeated, for I have far too much free time and no one to spend with. I'm checking emails, blog loving, Facebook and Tumblr all the time, and even jumped into the Twitter foray. I have a short attention span, and I'm avoiding writing 3 papers. I owe this course. It's 2 terms. I can text friends who are busy with either school or work, but I have neither of these things going for me. I've started a Photoshop course, but it is only 5 classes, so perhaps I'm learning some sort of useful skill. Other than that, I have very little going on in my life, which is disappointing. I'm very disappointed in myself for breaking down during the term, forcing me to withdraw from courses. I've been at university for 3 years, and I've only managed to complete 3 courses. That means I've spent a first year for 3 years. I've spent a first year for 3 years, and this September it will be for the 4th year because I require 30 credits in order for second year status. I'm trying to stay away from all the Tumblr and blog loving and get away from all this fashion frivolity that has become the huge distraction from facing some responsibilities. But I feel so utterly directionless and lost. These excuses and past disappointments do more to stop me than anything else. When I cannot fall asleep at night, I'm gripped with the fear that my transcript must be a nightmare. Multiple fails and withdrawals in 3 years with only 3 courses completed cannot look good if I intend to continue on to grad school. I hate myself for not even being able to attend 1 class, and I feel very disrespectful to my professor, who has been so kind and understanding. Instead, I am left to wander the streets of downtown looking at frivolous things like clothing, but being broke, I cannot buy anything, and I feel so empty. What is the purpose of owning a nicely curated closet if there is no place to wear it? What is the purpose of reading countless articles if there is no one to discuss it with? As much as I do like spending time to myself, when you are alone for so many days, it is not healthy. I know I must start exercising, but... excuses.
It is a weariness that keeps me at a standstill.
That's really sad.
That's in a post. So, yeah, on both platforms, like, she would, like, sometimes write her own words. Sometimes she'd share quotes. Like, a common theme amongst all of it was, like, these fashion posts. So I think we get, like, this sense of, like, obviously she's into fashion to some extent, right?
Right.
Or, like, beautiful clothing, at least.
And she's deeply depressed, clearly.
Yeah.
So she had been known to suffer from mental illness. She was diagnosed with both bipolar and depression disorders.
That's sad.
So she was prescribed Wellbutrin, Lamotrigine. I don't know how to say half of these things.
Lamotrigine?
Sure.
Lamotrigine?
Quetiapine? Dexedrine? Spansul? Okay.
Do you just want to say the next one? You're fucking looking over my shoulder at my notes.
But I like it when you start it.
Venlafaxine.
Okay, yeah, there we go. Those are the meds that she was prescribed. But she had a history of, like, not taking her meds at all times.
That's not good for people with bipolar.
So she's on these, or she's prescribed these meds, right? She's diagnosed with these things, but she's not always taking her medications. Mm-hmm. And again, this is just some background on her, because her case was pretty crazy, if you will. Like, it had a lot of people online making YouTube videos, like, just, like, these web sleuths.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just,
yeah,
like,
no, that's correct.
Causing, like, all this havoc for the LAPD, like, being fucking shit show people.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
So a lot of interjection where it was speculation and it wasn't factual.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's, I mean, I have it in my notes to talk about this later, but I'll say this right now, too, that it's important to me to note right now, also, I guess, that, like, I don't want to be one of those web sleuths. Like, I don't want to be one of those people that's just like, Cheryl's definitely haunted. Like, look at her. She's being a crazy fuck. Like, she looks like she scored off of Skid Row. There is, like, she had an autopsy. There's a cause of death.
Okay.
Yeah. Which, well, you know, I'm going to get into all of that.
Versus conjecture and speculation.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to speculate if something is, like, unknown, unsolved, whatever. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But with this, it's like, we have an answer. They've given us an answer. Now back down, people.
Okay.
Like, you don't need to, like, this is, like, the hardest day for a family to lose their child.
No kidding.
And, like, they just don't need all that bullshit.
Agreed.
So, she had no history. We're just still talking about her mental health, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
She had no history of suicide ideation or attempts. So, suicidal ideation is, like, when we sit there and we're like, wow, the world would be such a better place without me in it. Or, oh, I'd like to die, you know, or it would be so nice to not be around.
Right.
But actually having, like, no intention of following through with it, that's ideation.
Right.
And then attempts are obviously suicide attempts. So one report claimed that she had gone missing for a brief period of time. And I put a question mark at the end of that because there's not really any backing for it, but one report said it, so.
Noteworthy, but not proven.
Noteworthy, not proven.
Okay. But
her family also hasn't spoken out a lot about it.
Well, I wouldn't either.
Right. So she was hospitalized at least one time, and I presume that it was, like, a 72-hour hold on her, right? I mean, I don't know if Canadian healthcare is the same way as in the States, but that she was on a 72-hour hold for having hallucinations, and these hallucinations were causing her to, like, hide under her bed and seek refuge under her bed. I don't know from what the hallucinations were like, but so she definitely went into healthcare for this at least once.
That's really sad.
Into treatment, I should say, not healthcare, but treatment for this at least one time.
That's really sad.
So her trip to California, so she traveled to California in early 2013 by herself. She used Amtrak and buses to get to California. She arrived there on January 26th in San Diego. And then she checked into the Cecil on the 28th. So when she was in San Diego, she went to, like, the San Diego Zoo, was posting pictures, you know, touristy things in San Diego was right. What she was up to. And then she hopped on a bus, went to LA, and then she checked into the Cecil on the 28th. So she was put on the fifth floor in a shared room. So she's at the stay on main levels.
Okay.
So she was put on the fifth floor in a shared room, but her roommates had complained about her having odd behavior. And they, like, can you get this girl put in a new room, please? You know, to the front desk.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did that. And according to Amy Price, who's interviewed in the Vanishing at the Cecil on Netflix, that series, she said that she would leave her roommate's notes that said, go home or go away. And she would often lock the door.
Well, that's not cool.
Yeah, so they put her in her own room. And there were also no cameras on her hotel floor. But so she just had this history. Like, she's obviously, I dug in the documentary, they made it pretty clear that sounded like she wasn't taking her meds.
Yeah,
it sounds at this like point. It. So, again, I'm not trying to speculate on anything, but it sounds pretty obvious that, you know, she's had a history of not taking them. So she probably is not on them at this
so
point.
So she's having, like, bipolar episodes.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
It does sound like it.
Yeah, so she was assigned to a new room that was her own room. No roommates, just by herself.
Uh-huh.
A few days before her disappearance, she attended a live taping of Conan.
Oh, the Conan O'Brien show.
Uh-huh.
Okay, gotcha.
In Burbank, California. But then she was escorted off the premises due to, like, having weird, odd behavior. So they kicked her off.
Oh, that sucks.
So, yeah, security escorted her out. Like, bye, get out of here. So her disappearance, she was meant to check out on the 31st of January in 2013 again. But she was nowhere to be found. And her parents, they had contact with her every single day. Couldn't get in contact with her. So they were like, let's call the police. You know, let's file a missing persons report. And I'm assuming that they probably shared, like, her mental health journey, struggle, if you will.
Probably.
With the police, because that immediately prompted them to do a search.
Okay, yeah, because otherwise they probably would have been like, well, it hasn't been X amount of time.
Right, she's a 21-year-old girl. She's a tourist. She's in Los Angeles. Da, 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 this is the party scene. Blah, blah, blah. Right. You know? All that bullshit that they do.
Right.
I mean, not just in LA, but everywhere.
Yeah.
It hasn't been 24 hours. Or call us back after 48.
Right. And people who know when they have a missing family member, and that happens all the time.
Right.
Sometimes things can be prevented if you get to it a little quicker.
Yeah.
Just exactly. Take the family's word for it.
Right.
So it sounds like they did in this case, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah. So they immediately, like, began a search operation looking
although
for
the
her.
Outcome still wasn't good.
Yeah. Right.
But at least they listened.
So I'm not sure exactly the date. I saw, like, different accounts of the date that it was released, but they found video footage of her in an elevator, and then the LAPD released it to the public because they didn't really have any answers about it. So they released it to the public.
Okay.
And then let's talk about the infamous elevator video, because this is where you really get all the web sleuths online, like,
right.
Solving the case, if like, that was air quotes, quote, solving, unquote, the case.
Okay.
In the elevator video, she's acting unusual. She's, like, stepping in and out of the elevator, pressing buttons. She pokes her head out several times, like, is somebody out there? Is somebody not out there? Like, and then she, like, turns her back, like, against the buttons. Like, she's, like, trying to, like, where the door opens.
Like hiding.
She's hiding. Yeah, okay. Exactly. And she's just, her behavior is super weird in it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, not normal.
Sounds like it.
In this video.
Almost, honestly, sounds childlike.
Yeah, like she's playing a game.
Yeah, like little kids who, like, push buttons, look outdoors, hide in a corner, look back again. Have you found me? Can you find me? Like, that's what it.
Right. So she's seen in this video wearing a red hoodie and black shorts, which I don't know if you've seen the video or not, but it's on YouTube for people who want to look it up.
Okay.
It's definitely disturbing knowing that it's the last moments that she was seen, right?
That always sucks.
Yeah.
I hate that when they're always like, this is the surveillance video we have of the last known sighting.
Well, and it's not like she's like the other ones that you see where they're just walking. I mean, those are also grim.
Yeah.
But this was like clearly like a deterioration in her mental state.
Yeah. That makes it extra layer level sad.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
It was almost like she was talking to somebody that was outside of the elevator. As far as they can tell from the footage, there's nobody outside of the elevator. Like, some sort of danger looks like it's happening, like, outside of the elevator in the video by her presentation mm-hmm. in the video.
Like, she's freaked out?
Yeah, like, she's freaked out, okay.
But there's really nothing.
Yeah, like, there's no shadows. Like,
so, like, hallucinations.
Yeah, it's almost okay. Like she's hallucinating. So, web sleuths suspected that she was playing the elevator game. And, of course, you know, people are speculating. They're doing everything they can, inserting their opinions left, right, and center, like I've already said in this case. Like, I think that was one of, like, the biggest, I don't know. It was good and it was bad, right? It was bad that people were inserting themselves, but it was good because then it put the pressure on it for something to happen.
That's probably very true.
So some people speculated that she was on ecstasy because she's so close to Skid Row. She could have just grabbed something, right? Young 21-year-old girl, party it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. That wasn't the case. And others thought that she was having a psychotic episode, which is, like, the most plausible theory, obviously.
Right.
Given her mental illness. But where that's disturbing. So I want to share the elevator game with you.
Okay.
Because I don't know how much I buy into the fact that, although I've never seen anybody play it, and I don't have any interest in playing it after you hear the rules. I'm sure you're going to have no interest in playing it either. But I want to share with you the elevator game.
Well, you never know. Tell me the rules.
So the elevator game, what's needed to play, you need to play one player to play, and
an elevator.
There's a 10-story building with at least one elevator.
Okay.
So there's conflicting reports on if you can or if you can't play with another person. So the rules of the game are as follows. This is how you play the game. So you enter the elevator alone, or again, we don't know if you can play with other people or not. Rules or the what's needed to play varies from channel to channel.
Okay.
So it says, or with your friends, but no one else. Do not get out on any floors. If any outsiders enter the elevator, you'll need to start over the game. So first, you're going to proceed to the fourth floor. Then you're going to descend to the second floor. Then you're going to proceed to the sixth floor. Then you're going to return again to the second floor. And then you're going to ascend to the 10th floor, return to the fifth floor. And when you reach the fifth floor, it's then that people report encountering a young woman. You're instructed to not look or interact with her. She may or may not try talking to you, asking for help, or antagonizing you. So then you're going to press the button for the first floor. And it said that two things may happen in this time. If the elevator descends to the first floor, exit immediately and do not look back or speak. And if the elevator starts to go up, you've been allowed into the other world.
That's creepy. So
when you reach the 10th floor, things might look slightly different. No one else is going to be there with you. The power might be out. Some players claim to look out windows and see only a red cross in the distance. If you choose to exit the elevator, you should ignore the woman's attempts to stop or question you. And what happens if you talk to the woman now? What?
I was just going to say, so people do this, and these are, like, the reports of shit that's happened when people have done it? It's
a paranormal game. People like this shit.
Oh. Well, I know people like paranormal games and shit, but...
Yeah, this is one of them.
Okay.
So what happens if you talk to the woman is some say the woman appears to them as someone they know. Some people swear that they just, even just looking at this woman, led to damning consequences.
Freaky.
So returning from the other world now, if you make it there, this is how you get home.
Okay.
If you chose to stay in the elevator and not explore, just press the button for the first floor and return home. You might have to keep pressing the button to get it to work. If you choose to get off the elevator and explore, there are a few rules to follow in order to properly return to your home rule or to your home world. Sorry.
It's good.
You must use the same elevator you used to arrive. Follow steps 2 through 7, which is clicking all the different floors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Finishing on the fifth floor, and the floor sequence goes 4, 2, 6, 2, 10, 5. And when you reach the fifth floor, press the button to return to the fifth floor. The elevator will attempt
to...
To the first floor, sorry. The elevator will attempt to return you to the 10th floor instead. Begin pressing other floor numbers to stop the elevator before you reach the 10th floor. Proceed to the first floor again. Upon reaching the first floor, check your surroundings. If anything seems off, or even the smallest detail seems off, do not get off the elevator.
No shit.
Repeat step 2 until things look normal. And once you're confident you've returned to your... quote, real world, unquote, exit the elevator. And then here's some tips for playing the game. When messing with the paranormal, your phones and electronic devices may not work, so make sure someone there knows where you are. You may be disoriented or forget which elevator you arrived in. Try to stay focused. It's the only way out. If you pass out or faint, you might wake up at home, but be sure you're really at home. It could be the spirit world in disguise. Again, don't say anything to the strange woman. Don't even look at her.
Creepy.
And I took that all off of Scary Mama on that website.
I don't like it.
It was the most in-depth details regarding this game. So,
well, I feel like if you're going to play it, you need the most accurate information.
Yeah, right.
Or the most details, I guess.
Yeah, so super spooky, but people speculated that she was playing this game. And so I wanted to, where that's disturbing, right? I'm like, I'm going to tell you how to play the game.
Alrighty, I'm not going to play it.
You are correct. It's a paranormal game. Oh yeah, I would never.
No, you are correct. I will not play it.
I don't fuck with that shit.
No.
So
seems like a bad plan.
So don't fuck with that shit, any of our listeners either. Don't fuck with it.
Like Ouija boards and all those things.
You just never know what you're going
to
get.
Nope. Opening doors to places you might not want to open doors to doesn't seem like a solid plan.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Again, back to your supernatural quotes or supernatural references all the time. Leave that to Sam and Dean and Bobby.
Yeah. Aw, R.I.P. Bobby.
Aw. Apparently you never finished the show, but okay.
I didn't. Okay, R.I.P. Sam and Dean as well.
Again. Never finished the show, did you?
Nope.
Okay.
Or maybe it's Bobby that's back. R.I.P.D. Okay, so the discovery of her body, they found her on the top of, like, in a water tank. And it was a hotel employee, Santiago Lopez. He was a maintenance worker. So he found her in one of the four tanks. And the reason why they found her.
I was going to say, why would you even be looking in a water tank?
This is so gross. People were reporting the water tasted weird. The water pressure was off. Yeah. That's how they discovered her.
God, I just like feel like I'm going to throw up. Like literally my stomach just got hot.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that horrible? Yeah, so people were saying the water pressure is being weird in the hotel right now.
Ugh.
The water tastes weird. And
okay, don't say that again.
This is the water that's going to guest rooms, the kitchen, or a kitchen, and the coffee shop.
God, I really, like, my stomach got hot and dropped, and I feel...
And they also said it was black and it had an unusual taste.
Oh my God, can you? Why? Why?
Because we're that's disturbing.
I know, but...
Get freaky with me.
I feel like sometimes... You could stop when your mom says that she feels nauseous.
So when Santiago Lopez, when he got to the roof, was looking in these water tanks, right, it was open. The water tank was open. Okay. And her body was just floating there.
Ugh.
And she had no clothes on.
That's really sad, but I'm still just super grossed out by the fact that it was, people tasted icky water and it was going to the coffee shop. And can you imagine drinking a cup of coffee and then...
Ew, that's even worse when you say it like that. Do you know how many of our water sources probably actually have bodies in them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Okay.
I know, but it's not concentrated like in a 1,000-gallon tank.
Yeah.
It's in a giant area, so it's not concentrated.
That's so gross. That's real disturbing.
So, yeah.
Like, you just went from that's disturbing to that's fucked.
Yeah, so I apologize.
So again, through the open hatch, like the tank is open, right? He saw her body. And so they had to drain out the tank and then cut it open because the hatch was too small to get the equipment that they needed to remove her body from it. They ended up having to like cut open this tank, right, to remove her body from it.
So how'd she get in there if it's too small to get her out?
We'll circle back.
Okay.
On February 21st, the Los Angeles coroner's office, they issued a finding of the accidental drowning, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, people are saying all these salacious things about her.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, she's having a bipolar episode, like, where somebody murdered her. The cause of death, reportedly, is that it was accidental drowning with her bipolar disorder as a significant factor in her death.
That sounds fair, honestly.
So the coroner's report, which was released in June of that year, stated that her body had been found naked, clothing similar to what she was wearing in the elevator video was floating in the tank with her, and she was coated with a sand-like particulate, and her watch and her room key were also found with her. And her body was moderately decomposed, it was bloating at this point, she was turning green with some marbling evident on the abdomen, and like her skin separation was happening. But there was no evidence of physical trauma, sexual assault, or suicide in her case. Her toxicology tests, they showed traces that was consistent with prescription medication found amongst her belongings, non-prescription drugs, such as, how do you say that?
Sinutab. Sinus medication.
I figured as much. And ibuprofen.
Mm-hmm.
So they found those things, like trace amounts of those, right? And a very small amount of alcohol was also found in her system. But there were no other, like, recreational drugs found in her system. Like, how people were like, oh, she probably went to Skid Row and she probably scored in Skid Row. No, nothing like that was found in her system.
Right.
So, again.
No ecstasy.
Nope, no ecstasy. So people are just being douche canoes online.
Weird.
I mean, like I said, like, I understand, like, the early days of the speculation. But then for people to still be like, I bet she got murdered. Something happened to her on Skid Row. How did she wind up in that water tank? With just all these things.
Right, but people like to do that.
It's just fucked.
People do that all the time.
I know, they do. Yeah, just the web sleuthers. They bought into all these conspiracy theories. And that, you know, paranormal activity could have also been involved in her disappearance.
Because of the elevator game thing.
Yeah. Or just the fact that this hotel is probably very haunted.
Yeah, because of all of the...
the death.
Yeah, all the suicides.
But again, I want to acknowledge that we are not web sleuths. We're not going to get on here and, like, make these fucking crazy accusations about things that we don't know jack shit about.
Right. You're just reporting as many facts as you can.
Right. I'm trying to give you the facts, but I also think it's interesting to talk about the theories. But I'm not pulling this shit from my ass and creating a theory.
Right.
And people also believe that she was being haunted. So no one even knew how she could get into the water tank
onto
the roof. So the hotel's fire escape could have allowed her to bypass all the security measures that, like, restrict people from getting on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
But her scent trail, like, it went cold and near a window that was connected to the fire escape. And a video that was posted on her showed that the hotel's roof was easily accessible via the fire escape, and that two lids of the water tanks were open at that time in this video that came out after the fact, right? Okay. But again, people don't know how she could have gotten into the tank, because the employees of the hotel, when they needed to do any kind of water situation, required ladders to get up there. And they had to, like, push open the tops of the tanks, right? Like, and these hatches.
And they were, like, totally off, right? You said? Like, the tank.
The lid, one she was found in.
It was off.
Yeah.
Okay. But I feel like the roof access thing, I think all buildings have a way to get on the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah. So but, that's not so weird. But the water tank thing.
But, like, for her to get up, like, the stairs and get onto the roof through those doors that are up there,
mm-hmm,
would have required, like, a bypass of some sort.
Well, maybe it wasn't locked all the way or closed all the way.
Maybe. Maybe she picked the lock.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Because if she's having these hallucinations, she could have, like, how she tried to find refuge under her bed.
Mm-hmm.
She could have tried to ascend up there for refuge.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not trying to, like, speculate on shit.
I was going
to
say, here we are, like, oh, no, we're not gonna speculate. No, but I'm just saying,
like, her past behaviors.
Right.
Well, that's the thing, too, was, like, when this came out and the video very first came out, like, it hadn't, like, really been reported on that she was bipolar and depressed and, like, all these things. People were like, oh, she's on party drugs. She's playing paranormal games. Like,
right.
All the mental health crises kind of came out later. But no, that was just, I was just saying simply that she could have been doing this per her past behavior of, like, hiding under her bed.
Yeah, no, I wasn't accusing you of speculating. I was just kind of being an asshole.
I'm trying to, like, walk sensitively around this case. I don't know if you can tell that.
You are.
Trying to definitely, because I thought this case was super interesting. I still find it very interesting. Otherwise, I wouldn't have covered it.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's, like, not my favorite part of the Cecil. I think the Cecil as a whole is my favorite part.
Okay.
But this isn't, like, my biggest, like, moment about the Cecil.
Well, I feel like I remember you talking about this a long time ago.
When it happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, 2013?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, probably.
Yeah, it's kind of when I started to get into it. I've been tortured all of growing up watching 48 Hours, and I was finally like, oh, I'm going to turn this on myself. So, yeah, people, again, they just don't know how she could have gone onto the tank. The employees required ladders to climb to the top of the tank, and then it was heavy for her to push open. But again, the guy who found her said the lid was already open, and her cause of death, one more time, just to reiterate it, was ruled as an accidental drowning. She was not murdered.
Right.
So,
I don't know.
Yeah.
So I guess no one knows.
I am going to talk about another theory, though, because this one's just weird and crazy.
Okay.
It's called the Lamalisa theory, which was that they were trying to cover up, like, Lamalisa with Lisa Lam. And what Lamalisa was people were, like, speculating that there was a huge tuberculosis outbreak that happened in Los Angeles in 2013.
Wow.
And the name of a test is called Lamalisa. But that's because of the letters that it stands for, right? And I'll read that to you in a minute. But people thought that they were trying to cover up the tuberculosis outbreak with the death of Lisa Lam by switching the names.
And aren't those, I was going to say, aren't they Eliza tests?
They're Lisa's.
That's how you pronounce it?
Or maybe it's Eliza, but the letters.
Yeah, the letters.
I don't know. I just sit in such a weird, like, I feel like I'm tiptoeing on a lot of things here. But that's because it was just so horrible, some of the things that people... I realize that it also pushed for things to actually happen in this case by people speaking up, by having so much media attention, and by web sleuths. But some of the things people said were just total, utter bullshit. And this was a real family that lost a real child, and real people who lost their real friend.
That's crazy, though.
And a real person who found a real person's body in a tank. And
yeah. Sorry, I'm just, like, stuck on the fact that the whole tuberculosis thing...
So, okay, let me deep dive a little bit more into
Please.
It then. So they suggested that she was a test subject for the Lamalisa tests, and that they were trying, and other people assumed that they were trying to use her as a human biological weapon that was sent to LA to spread the disease.
Okay, that seems far-fetched.
Yeah. So,
although,
but, or some people wonder, like, if she was silenced because she knew too much about the outbreak with tuberculosis.
Well, given her travel history and her mental status history and her lack of ability to focus in school and whatnot, I feel like that's far-fetched.
I feel like it's extremely far-fetched.
Yeah, I was trying to tiptoe lightly, as you said.
I guess, yeah, I don't know why I feel the need to tiptoe so lightly on this one.
No, you're fine. I just, like I said, I don't want to say, well, that's straight-up bullshit, because clearly she couldn't follow through with anything. But no, I mean...
I just feel like I sit in this weird position of this is a real family who lost a real child, who lost a real person, and there are all these people online saying all this bullshit.
Well, and that happens all the time. But I feel like
we just don't get all this craziness surrounding it, though.
A lot of them, no. Not to this extent. But it's just weird that, I don't know, the human biological weapon and then that she knew too much. I don't know. Those things seem highly unlikely.
Yeah, it is.
Although
weird,
tuberculosis
though,
cover-up doesn't necessarily seem that unlikely because we know that kind of shit happens all the time.
Right, but this was really her name, was Lisa Lam.
Well, no, I get that, but so maybe just coincidentally.
So there's really a tuberculosis test that resembles that name, which is called the Lamalisa, or Eliza, however you prefer to call it, which stands for, oh God, I'm going to butcher
this. Enzyme-linked immunosorbent.
It starts with that word.
Oh, sorry.
Liporabinomanin.
No, it's lipoarabinomanium. So it's like something to do with lipids.
Okay.
Like
enzyme-linked immunosorbent assay.
Yeah.
So that's how they get the breakdown. The Lamalisa was by those letters, you know, just a shortened version of it.
Immunosorbent, so that's why I think it's an Eliza.
But it's probably because it's immuno, and then the S is the sorbent.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's just another crazy theory that was thrown out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know you have a medical background. I do not have anything. I don't even like blood.
Well, who likes blood?
Not I.
No.
I
don't like blood either.
We can kind of just wrap up her case there. I have some more to go over.
Okay.
For the Cecil, or the stay on Maine, if you will.
Okay.
Oh, actually, I do have one more thing to throw in there.
Okay, cool, because I feel like you just dropped it real quick. You're like, hey, so we're done, moving on.
Her parents tried to file a wrongful death suit that same year against the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
But the case got dropped in 2015 because it was really nothing. Like, they had their preventable measures from getting people to get to the roofs and, like, they're heavy, and there was really no way that they could have, like, predicted that anything like that was going to happen or prevented anything like that from happening.
Right.
Because nothing to that extent had ever happened before. Like, people falling out the windows, but you can fall out a window anywhere, really.
Right.
The Cecil's not exclusive to that happening. It just happens at the Cecil.
Yeah, and I mean, I get it. The parents were just looking for some kind of
right
answer or something. But yeah, I get it. But I also feel like people aren't responsible.
No, I don't feel like they're liable for it at all.
Nope.
I don't think they should have to do any like reparations either in that case, because it's so unfortunate, but like really she could have had this episode and done this anywhere.
Right. And you go to a hotel and then your bipolar disorder probably takes over and the hotel is not responsible for that.
No, it's not. Especially if she's not taking her meds. Like,
right. And if they couldn't prove that there was homicide or was some kind of irresponsibility on the hotel's part, how she wound up there and how she wound up in the tank. And so, yeah.
Of course, there's still these crazy fucking theories. You know, somebody put her in the tank. My personal opinion that has been formed is that I agree. It was an episode and then she drowned by accident.
Well,
and
people can do weird shit. Like, people can do things that you don't think people can do, like to get into one of those tanks I am going to speculate here, but if you're having a manic episode and you're like freaking out, you're trying to get away from something, you can maybe get some superhuman strength and push that lid and get in there. Like when parents see their kids get run over by a car or something and they lift the car off the kid, like it's an adrenaline rush that causes that to happen. So maybe if she was having some kind of hallucination, she was scared as fuck of something. Like it appeared like she was in the videos, right?
Yeah.
Maybe she's running up there to try to get away. And then she's like, well, I'm going to hide in this tank. She doesn't maybe know that it's a water tank till it's too late, till she's in it. And then she can't get out and she dies.
Yeah.
So
I definitely don't think she went up there. I definitely don't think she went up there for a swim.
Well, no, but I'm saying she maybe just didn't know that it was a water tank.
Yeah.
Because, no, I again, don't... you're in a manic bipolar. No,
that's something that's
so
been...
not trying
that's
to
That's something
speculate.
That's been discussed heavily, so that's not more okay. personal speculation.
Okay, well, I don't know. I never researched the case. I'm just throwing shit out there.
If you want to say that, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, an analogy for this. I'm trying to think of some other true crime case that's, like, could even closely be relatable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Lizzie Borden, right? Exonerated. And then people still made up that rhyme. Lizzie Borden took an axe. It's something of that nature. I don't even know. I don't
people
think that
are
was
just
a clear connection.
People, as you would say, are talking out their asses.
Yeah. People are just talking out their asses. They're right. Like, oh, this place, lots of people died there. There's ghosts. She got killed by a ghost.
Right.
Like, no, she was a poor girl with poor mental health, unfortunately. I don't want to say like a system that failed her, because she kind of, in a way, almost failed her own system by not helping herself.
Right. Which is a pretty also not uncommon theme, I think, with bipolar people. Because just from, you know, what you hear, and how we're going way off fucking topic now. But, you know, people take their medication and they feel better and they feel fine. So they're like, oh, I'm good. I'll stop taking it.
Yeah.
Because they're mentally debilitated, and so they don't realize that going off the medication is going to make them
going to make them not feel better.
But then when they stop feeling better, they don't realize that they need to get back on the medication.
Yeah.
Gosh, yeah. Let's go back in rails.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, I feel like I'm going way like to the speculative side.
I just kind of want to wrap that one up in a pretty bow. Then she died of accidental drowning, with possible connections as to her bipolar being a factor in her death.
Yes.
And we'll just wrap it up in a pretty bow right there.
Right. Rest in peace, Elisa Lam.
Yeah. It's just horrible.
And our hearts go out to your family.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's heartbreaking. That's why I hate the people online for that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't hate all of them. Like, some of them, like, I still watch their YouTube videos, you know, just the things that were said about her. She's a victim. This is a family that lost a child. This is a parent who lost a child. This is a father who lost a daughter. This is a sister who lost her sister, you know?
Yeah.
This is somebody's family. This is somebody's loved one. This is somebody's student who clearly was patient, like, you know, her teachers were patient, obviously cared about her, you know?
Right.
Like, it's sad, and our hearts go out there for those people because
yes, they do.
It's just bullshit, in my opinion. I don't know how many times I said bullshit in this episode, but...
quite a few. I feel like not more than normal, but...
So, there's a Ghost Adventures episode where they explore the Cecil, and it's on Discovery Plus. I haven't actually had the opportunity to watch it.
I think my dad has Discovery Plus, but I'm not sure. I guess I could watch it at some point.
Probably.
But not gonna lie. Dude bro. Ghost Adventures kind of annoys the fuck out of me, dude bro.
Aw, don't say that. I love dude bro.
I love them. But when they start comments to each other, I'm like, talk about the ghosts.
Well, that might be how people feel about us.
Yeah. Talk about the case.
Right. Being stupid.
So Zach Bagans claims the place has many malevolent spirits inside. He said that he may have made connections with Elisa Lam, Richard Ramirez, Pigeon Goldie Osgood, which, a reminder, she was from the first one, that she got her nickname from feeding pigeons. She was found murdered in her room at the Cecil, and it's still unsolved.
Yeah.
And other spirits within the hotel. And that, kind of tying it back to your first episode, that the malevolent spirits there are heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be why people commit suicide.
Don't you think it's weird, though, that Richard Ramirez would go back there? He didn't die there.
He didn't die there. Maybe that was his happiest time being a dickhead staying there.
Maybe. That's fair. Yeah, because they do say spirits get either trapped where they were or go back to a place that's real happy for them.
Yeah.
And since he had such a fucked up existence, childhood, life.
Maybe that was his happy place. Maybe
that was a happy place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Okay. Sorry. Speculating.
So I couldn't find any other reports on hauntings or people's accounts of hauntings.
I know, and you were searching and searching and searching.
I know. I was like, there's got to be some ghost stories out here about this.
Did you get on Reddit?
I didn't get on Reddit.
Oh, well, there you go.
I didn't even see, like, when I clicked on stuff for the Cecil on Reddit, and I clicked on, I literally typed it in, right? On Reddit, though, but it was just all Elisa Lam. That's all that comes up.
So you did look on Reddit?
I did, but there was nothing there that I could find.
Okay. Like, well, I just said that you look, and you're like, nope.
Well, I didn't find. I guess that's what I should have said. I didn't find. Because it's literally, like, we had the trouble within the first episode was that it's all Elisa Lam. Which is great that her story has so much coverage.
Mm-hmm.
But poor when I want to know other things. So, this one's going to piss you off. I apologize, Mom. We have another John Doe. June 13th, 2015, he was male. He died allegedly from falling from the building. He was roughly about 28 years old. He was found outside of the Cecil. Some people thought he may have killed himself by jumping off the hotel, but a spokesperson for the county coroners told the Los Angeles Times that his cause of death had not yet been found,
and they don't know who the man is. I hate that.
Yeah, me too. I really hate that. That's kind of like the last death that we know about, because the hotel closed its doors, I think, sometime between 2017 to 2019, or to complete, like, totally just complete their renovations.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if COVID has halted it from reopening. I guess, I think it was for, like, its tourists renovation. I think it's reopened at this point, but
we can look and we can announce it at a later date.
Yeah, when I was even looking up the Cecil, I just typed in the Cecil Hotel, and it popped up with an ad for Stay on Main. Mm-hmm. So it should be open, I guess,
if they're advertising to stay there.
The Cecil went on to inspire season 5 of American Horror Story.
One of my favorite seasons. Other things.
I was just about to say that. Super underrated. People hate it.
I love it.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's definitely one of my favorites, for sure.
Yeah. Definitely, this is how it goes for me. I like Hotel, and I like Coven, and I like The Murder House. And then I liked the one where they were, like, at the camp. I haven't watched the current season.
Okay.
I haven't watched the current season right now. Mm-hmm. But the rest of them are all just kind of meh.
Yeah.
I mean, they're okay. But those are, like, my top 3, 4. Yeah.
Anyway, okay, we're fucking totally going off the rails again.
That's okay. I just wanted to say
it was one of my favorite seasons.
It was inspired by the Cecil, like, in part. I mean, obviously, as you know, it was also kind of like H.H. Holmes inspired when you're watching it, and you know, if you know the story of H.H. Holmes.
Yeah.
And it's funny because he also draws the connection in that season Ryan Murphy does to Richard Ramirez being at that hotel.
Yep.
I mean, it's weird that other people are back there because, like, Eileen Wuornos was in Florida, zero connection to the Cecil.
Right. But it's a haunted hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of a little funny aha moment to point out. Well, what'd you think, Mom?
I thought it was really good.
Thank you. I tried to tiptoe hard.
I know you did. And I think you did a great job. And I hadn't heard, I mean, I like had vague details about this, but I didn't know a ton about it. So thank you for explaining and going into detail and gathering as much relevant information as you could.
Yes. She died from accidental drowning with her bipolar disorder being in part to play. Like playing a part in that as well, most likely.
Right.
No ghostly activity that we'll ever know about. So don't say it was.
Right. Okay. That's fair. Can I say something?
I'd love to hear something.
That doesn't have anything to do with this?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to go back to my Denver Metro part two, because at the end of that, how I said that bodies were found at Botanic Gardens in 2008, there were more found in 2010. And so
I want to know something really funny.
That you found more?
I didn't personally find them, no. When my friend Hannah came over to hang out the other day, shout out Hannah if you listen to this, she told me that when it's raining heavy enough, like it did in 2014, that freaking flooding that we had everywhere in Colorado, or not everywhere, but metro area.
Denver Metro and the canyon.
That bodies just like wash up if there's a heavy enough rain there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wacko.
It is wacko.
She told me that because I haven't listened to every episode yet, which Hannah, get on it. But she said when she saw the part two Cheeseman Park description, she's like, oh, I need to listen to that right now.
Yeah.
Because she said one time she went there when she was like 24 with this group from school. And then her professor asked her not to go because she freaked the other people out because it was raining outside and she told them that they might see a body.
Yeah. That's totally fair.
That's pretty funny. All right. Well, thanks for listening, Mom.
Yeah. Well, thanks for presenting, Daphne.
Yes. Yes. We might have to throw in a Cecil part three at some point.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Bye.